Let's go up to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled for one episode and is our vantage point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Fans, and welcome to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. It is episode number 32, and it is Monday, May 22nd, 2017. I am Joe Murata. This is the unpredictable Michael Quinn. How you doing, Quinn?
Howdy doody.
You are unpredictable. You know that, right?
I'm quite unpredictable.
You're a wild man.
I work with Johnny Rods, so you have to be unpredictable.
That's true. You do have to be unpredictable.
If you're going to be around him.
If you're going to be around him, he could win a match at any time.
Yeah.
You know that?
That does happen.
It does happen. Folks, speaking of happenings, we're glad to be back with you this week to talk to you about the world of retro wrestling. Some great topics for you. I know that because I have one of them planned. But before we get to any of that, Quinn, let's remind our viewers they can find us on a few places. Number one, Twitter at OVP Podcast.
That's one of them.
Great place to find us. We'll tweet at you. You tweet at us.
Yeah, it's social.
So it's very social.
Very social. A social thing.
Another place, if you use this thing called electronic mail.
Yeah.
Email.
What's that?
Well, it's this thing where you like type a longer message than a tweet.
Is there a mailman involved?
Well, the mailman would be Google, because you can find us at ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. And Quinn, we have a web domain.
Yeah, we have a website. It's called ovppodcast.com.
What can people find there?
You can leave comments. It's got all the links to all the stuff we always say at the beginning.
Right, that's right. Yeah. One of those things they can find is our YouTube channel.
Yeah, there's a YouTube channel, and on it, there's videos of us.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, the videos include reviews of Championship Wrestling 1982.
We are trucking through 1982.
That like rhymes or something, doesn't it?
I didn't mean for it to, but it does.
What do you mean?
And they could also see what we look like on there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We look great.
We look like two guys in a basement.
We certainly do. And folks, another place, speaking of places, is theplacetobenation.com. You can find some great podcasts there. We are a member of that family. I know Quinn is a big fan of the Place to Be podcast.
Oh, yeah. They got the Place to Be podcast, like the Mother Sip
main podcast. The standard.
The gold standard, baby. And on there, they talk about the wrestling from 1986.
Yes, they are going through 1986, Scott and JT. And Quinn, there is something else.
Yeah.
It's called Apple Podcasts, right?
Right. So there used to be this place called iTunes once upon a time.
Once upon a time, there was a place called iTunes.
And they had all the greatest podcasts in the world.
It was wonderful.
And then they said, you know what, that I and the tune,
right.
That needs to go.
And you know what we said?
Who cares?
Yes. But then we said,
well, let's stay on this.
We're on that because it's easier to get.
Yes.
So if you can go on iTunes to get our podcast, you can do that. You can also leave a review there. It always helps us. It helps the Apple podcast know who we are.
Yep.
You can also get us on Google Play Music, mm-hmm. Stitcher, Blueberry, Auto. It's Auto Radio.
Auto Radio. Our apologies. We did call it Otis Radio last week.
Well, I think it should just always be called Otis Radio from now on because it's so obscure.
No objection.
So we're on all those things.
Yes, we are.
And tune in, you know.
Tune in.
Basically,
yeah,
I think anywhere where a podcast is podcasting,
we are there.
We are there.
So tell your friends, hide your husband and hide your kids.
Tell your neighbors, send them mail. P.O. Yes. Box, something or other.
No CODs.
Yeah, no CODs.
All right, Michael Quinn, for season four, of course, we have our new format. It's the deep dive.
Yeah.
We're going to put on our scuba masks, and we're going to take a deep dive into wrestling's past. And to guide us on this tour this week is Mr. Michael Quinn. So, Quinn, what are we deep diving to?
Well, I thought about deep diving into someone who I guess would be I guess she's not obscure.
Okay.
It's a she.
A she.
But I've always been intrigued by her.
Okay, what do we got here, man?
You remember somebody called Medusa?
Yes.
Or Alondra Blaze?
Sure do.
I find her career very interesting.
Why do you find it interesting?
Because all I see from 1991-ish or whatever when she was in WCW...
Dangerous Alliance.
...is an upward trajectory.
Easy for you to say, sir. Yeah.
An upward trajectory.
Okay.
And after she throws that belt in the trash can
in 95,
her career goes in the trash can.
You know,
and
what?
So I wanted to kind of go through there a little bit with Medusa follow through. I know you know a little bit about the history
sure
there. I know you're a big fan of the Medusa.
I do like her.
Yeah.
You know, from what I know about her, she was somewhat of an accomplished wrestler in Japan.
Medusa!
That's what I've heard.
Now, I'm not a big Japan expert, and I won't pretend to be one.
No.
But I do know she wrestled a lot in Japan. She also wrestled in the AWA in the late 80s.
Correct.
She had a feud with Sherry Martel, actually, I believe, in AWA.
Medusa gave Sherry all she could handle.
Okay.
Before Martel went over
now,
to
now, see, this is the stuff that
WWF
I'm a little foggy on.
Sure.
I know her more from her appearance in WCW.
Sure, and this is why it's a deep dive, right?
Right.
So we're getting into the nitty-gritty, some stuff that we might not normally talk about.
Yeah.
She was in the Dangerous Alliance as a valet. She was not a wrestler, to my knowledge.
And that's what I find very interesting about her, that part of her career.
Right.
Is there's a very Miss Elizabeth, Missy Hyatt thing going on.
You just named two totally different people.
Yes, but it's like a combination.
It's like a merger.
She's like, because they do have like an innocence about her. In
you
the day,
they do you think so?
They do and they don't.
She was a heel, though.
Yeah, but if you notice, when she was like all in with the Dangerous Alliance, she was very like she's actually more like Baby Doll or something, where she would interfere in matches and stuff.
Right.
She even did the whole, like, I think she was dressed up as a cop once and like interfered in Rick Rude's, which is exactly what Baby Doll did once.
Sure.
And then when they turn her like face and Paulie's trying to kick her out or whatever,
right, yep,
all of a sudden she becomes Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, but a badass, right?
Up till the match with Paul, it's
right,
all of a sudden she's innocent and doe-eyed, and then, you know, then she beats the shit out of Paul.
Well, he deserved it.
Yeah. That's like the end of her, like, WCW run.
Her first WCW run.
She beats up Paul Heyman, and then she's gone.
Now, what do you think about her, or what do you know about her from her WWF run? What kind of impression did that make on
you? So, to me, it's like a completely different thing.
It is.
So, all of a sudden, she goes from being, like, sometimes Miss Elizabeth, sometimes a badass, you know, femme fatale, if you will,
to the female Bret Hart.
Yeah, to like accomplished
yeah,
female wrestler,
right. And that's, you
like,
know,
it's a completely different character.
But you got to give Vince credit there for being able to push her and market her as like, this is the best female wrestler in the world.
This lady, Lundra Blaze, we are told we're going to see two of the best athletes in all of women's wrestling going at it here for the title.
Right, but was she?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Was she a bad wrestler? No. She was
no,
good.
She wasn't bad.
Competent.
You know, I do say this about Medusa. I always dug that she, like, she was kind of ahead of her time with, like, the karate kick kind of thing. Like, where, like, no, but more like a kickboxing aspect.
She did
have
that,
I don't know, like,
yeah,
what to call it.
I'll give you that.
And I like that about her. It made her unique, and, like, none of the men were doing even, like, a kickboxing deal.
No, not in the early 90s
yeah,
they weren't.
So, that was interesting.
Do you think she was underutilized in WWF?
I think as a wrestler, they pushed her to the max, like of their capabilities in that period.
It's less of a fault of hers than it is of their women's division.
Their division, and also the company was it not in good times, and they did what they could do. But when you can't afford to, like, you're on the verge of going out of business, getting more ladies wrestlers is probably not up on the priorities
yeah,
list.
Maybe like being able to pay your bills might trump that. Being able to pay your champion.
Yeah, just your like basic like
fill
champion.
The, half like, fill the arena.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Produce TV.
So unfortunately for her, it didn't work out. But I do say she did have a great rivalry with Bull Nakano.
Hey, you know that I'm a huge fan of that feud. Obviously, I love Bull. Bull, if you're out there, I love you.
Yeah, I know.
Big fan of Kiko Nakano.
Right.
And of course, you know, my most notable Lundra Blaze memory, well, actually, I have a couple, would be their SummerSlam 94 match. I love
right,
that match. Great women's
and
match.
And I want to say that that's kind of the apex of the Lundra Blaze push.
I would say so.
Did she lose it there, or she won
it? She retained it there.
She retained it. When did she lose it and then win it back? Was that Survivor Series?
She lost it right before Survivor Series 94 in Japan to
yeah,
Bull.
Drop, 世界の女性。説得力十分!
Right.
She didn't win it back until April 2nd, 95, the
that's
day after
it,
WrestleMania.
Okay, that's the one I'm thinking. And that was a big moment. If
big
I recall,
moment,
yeah.
And then right at the end of the match, Bertha Faye comes in and
right.
attacks her, and that is like...
This is where yeah. it kind of... So Bertha comes in, right? And mm-hmm. she's like... Well, you know what I thought was weird about that character?
Yeah.
Is that she comes in all black, and it's like this... It's almost like Awesome Kong, I yes. want to say. It's like the closest comparison. She's huge, and she's wearing black, and she looks kind of like a biker chick
absolutely,
or something.
Absolutely, yep.
And she beats the crap out of her, uh-huh. and she wins the title.
Yep.
That's not Bull Nakano. She's even bigger than Bull Nakano. Is that a she? It's bigger than Bull Nakano.
But then all of a sudden, they do this like Harvey Whippleman like falls
love
in love.
And she becomes Roseanne.
Yeah, she's basically Roseanne or like, you know, she's very soft all of a sudden.
She's Roseanne.
She's got a big heart, right? Like
now, from side note on that, Rhonda Singh is her name. She passed away a while ago. But yeah. She was actually very upset that they didn't let her keep her initial character because that character, and I can't remember the name of it, is actually something she had been doing in elsewhere, dressed like that, like a badass.
Yeah.
They changed her into this stupid Bertha Faye thing, and she didn't like it.
And I almost feel it makes Alondra Blaze look weak because she beats the love-filled
yeah.
Bertha Faye who's distracted by Harvey.
I know.
You know, and then, like, she beats her at SummerSlam 95, if
yep,
I recall.
You're right.
And then, okay, so then there's this whole situation where I feel like there was nobody left for her to fight. And so
Japanese women.
Yeah.
Aja Kong. Do you remember Aja Kong?
Oh, my God. Aja Kong. I almost forgot
Survivor
about it. See, this
series.
Is why it's a deep dive, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, Aja Kong.
It was Alondra and a bunch of Japanese people against Aja Kong and a bunch of Japanese people.
Right. And Aja Kong was known as something else, I want to say.
I don't know.
Or something stupid that's in a video game or something that people...
Maybe.
Like some weird thing.
Then now, folks, that's Aja Kong, not to be confused with Awesome Kong.
Right. Aja Kong.
Different.
She was like a she's about the same size as Bertha Faye, just like with short blonde
hair. She was like
hair.
A female Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right, yeah.
Or a Vader.
Yeah.
You know,
basically.
Something like that.
But then that just kind of ends,
it.
Right?
And then garbage can.
Right. So this is the crossroads of her career, right?
Yep, go ahead.
So she appears on Nitro.
December.
In December with a short haircut.
Shorter, yep.
Shorter haircut, wearing kind of like, again,
black.
Like biker gear. Like she
black
has
leather.
Like a vest on and all this.
Yep.
And she, you know, this is what I think of the WWF Women's Championship. Throws it in the garbage can.
Yep.
And this, to me, is like the point of no return in her career.
If killing your career had a sound effect, that might be it.
Right. Because now she's left, she's shackled to WCW.
Unfortunately, because just like you said about women's wrestling not being WWF's priority in 95, WCW soon after this catches fire with the NWO. They don't have time to worry about women's
right.
wrestling, and it showed.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Because when she came in, they were still doing the diversity thing, like international competitors and like the TV
right.
title and the cruiserweight title, and like that was more of a priority.
Mm-hmm.
But then the NWO came in, and
that was it.
Women's wrestling could have been another thing, you know, in their playbook, right?
Exactly. Like, cruiserweights, women's wrestling, big fat guys, you
yeah.
know, Dungeon of Doom.
Right.
But then, if you do remember, Quinn, she rekindled her feud with Bull for Hog Wild 96, but it was
Which,
awful.
It was so weird.
She got a nerve joke! She got a nerve joke! Bull hit her with a nerve joke!
With what?
A nerve joke!
A nerve joke! Can't you understand?
A nerve joke!
Yeah. Smash your motorcycle match.
That
remember
was,
that?
That was weird.
Garbage.
So, this is the thing, is she shackled now to WCW, right?
Yes.
But she's got to also know that WWF was better, right, for her. They put her to heights. She wasn't a valet over there. She was a main draw.
True. Good point.
And now she's shackled to WCW where they really don't care.
No, they don't.
And she can't go back.
No.
And now that there's a women's division developing over there.
In 98, 99, yep.
So now she's wrestling men, and she's like Macho Man's valet. She's getting moved
yeah.
all over the place. So I guess what I wanted to do with the deep dive, kind of in a bit of a conclusion, do you think, like, if she had not done that,
mm-hmm.
do you think if she had hung around that she would have, like, she was pretty. Like, she could have carried over into the Sunnies and the Sables of the world. She could have been a bigger deal than
yeah.
she was.
And she, if I'm not mistaken, and folks, if I'm wrong, sorry, I think she was about Sable's age.
Right.
Maybe a little bit older.
So she would have more than fit in.
Yeah, she wasn't really old. There might have been a perception that she was.
Yeah.
She might have only be about 2 years older than Sable.
And if
Sable.
You think about it, Sonny was already there.
Sonny was there. But what would she have done in 96, 97?
Well, it could have... We saw how the trajectory went. She could have valeted briefly after Alondra Blaze for like a year or so.
Who would you put her with?
I don't know. Somebody...
mid-carder.
Yeah, some mid-carder. Right? It's like if Sonny was with Skip, I mean,
Sable
Mark
Marrow
didn't necessarily need. I mean, if
yeah, but they were together in real life.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why that happened.
You could have put her with somebody more badass.
Triple H. She could have filled the role of China, but it wouldn't have ever made Triple H as over.
You know what I think would have worked better for him? Because
don't say Mr. Hughes.
No. I actually think, believe it or not,
yeah,
Vader. It would have been an
really
interesting dynamic with a femme fatale with a badass, right? Like,
because
James E. Cornette did absolutely nothing for him.
Camp Cornette, as you know,
yeah,
is one of my least favorite stables
right.
ever.
Imagine him with Medusa, who can like kick the shit out of somebody.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, it's just, but the point about that is, it's not really the point of like, oh, it could have been Vader. It's like,
sure,
it could have been anybody.
Could have been anybody.
Right.
So you think if she would have hung on and made it to the turn. But even so, Quinn, the Attitude Era women's division was not respected for its wrestling.
No, but that could have changed. I mean, if you had Medusa there, all of a sudden.
Yes and no. I mean, you had Jacqueline there.
Yeah.
So she could have wrestled her.
It really depends. Like, she would have been the focal point as far as wrestling is concerned, and that might have changed our perception. You're looking at it
true
without her.
So do you think she could have changed the game is what you're saying?
Right. And then
maybe.
And then by the end of her career, Lita would be around, and maybe you could have a nice passing of the torch,
yeah,
and, you know, yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good point, Quinn. And to wrap up here, I will say this, too, and I'm sure you'll agree with my sentiment. It was nice to see her inducted in the Hall of Fame a few years ago and pull the women's title out of the garbage can.
Right.
That was beautiful.
Now. Yeah, she's home now.
And doing very well and doing a podcast.
Yeah,
and she's
all over the place. I see her on the Twitter all the time.
She's actually seems like a really great lady. Monster truck driver.
She was all over. She was doing that back in WCW.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell that she knew that WCW shit wasn't working out.
I'm
so
sure
she was going to find her own stuff to do, whatever she wanted to do.
Yep, and I've always respected her. I can't say I'm a giant fan, but I really do like Medusa. I think she's solid, great career, and it was an interesting deep dive, Quinn. Any closing remarks?
I think Medusa is a lot more versatile than people ever gave her credit for.
Fair.
Because if you look at her WCW career and her WWF career, you see a good wrestler.
Yep.
She could be outlandish when she wanted in her later WCW career.
Yeah.
She could be a valet in her second half of her Dangerous Alliance. She could be a femme fatale in the first half of her Dangerous Alliance
and
part.
A convincing one.
Yeah, she could be everything.
Convincingly kick a man's ass.
Right.
I think that's true, and I think that's a fair point, Quinn, and I appreciate you bringing her up for this deep dive.
You got it.
So, folks, let us know what you think of Medusa. We'll be happy to hear about it.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we will be back right after this.
Medusa, always have been Medusa, and always will be Medusa. This is the WWF Women's Championship belt.
Whoa!
That indeed it is.
Trash can.
And that's what I think of the WWF Women's Championship belt. This is the WCW. I am now in the WCW. And they used to call me Alundra Blaze, but not anymore, because this is where the big boys play, and now this is where the big girls play.
What kind of disgusting, despicable lack of respect.
You're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, the fastest growing weekly episodic retro wrestling audio podcast in the world.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Glad to be with you this Monday, May 22nd, 2017. Michael Quinn, it is time for our next segment, which is, of course, the fan favorite, Mount Rushmore and Death Valley.
Here it is.
Where we will put four of the best of something on Mount Rushmore, and four of the worst go down into the desert of Death Valley with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
That's where he's hanging out these days.
He's under the ground or whatever.
He's undertaking
something. Maybe we'll find out at the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Maybe we will. And folks, of course, after you listen to the show, be sure to tweet at us or email us or comment on our Facebook that we didn't mention in the beginning.
Yes.
On our Facebook page.
Yeah. If you want to talk about Medusa or whatever this is.
Exactly, and it's my pick this week, so Michael Quinn, let's talk about the Mount Rushmore and Death Valley of wrestlers' ring names.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to drop one piece of criteria
first.
It has to be something somewhat notable. It can't be some bad name from the indies that no one's heard of.
Say it with me, baby. It's Quinn Magnum.
Okay, something like in the mainstream.
Right. And so what's in a name, folks? I mean, a wrestler's name, to me, should be easy to say.
Mm-hmm.
Should sound good when it's announced or said on television.
Right.
And it should be something that might be able to convey the character to the audience.
Right.
So, Quinn, I had the pick. You have the stick. What do you think's one of the best ring names?
I mean, the one that comes to mind, just because it's got a good story behind it, and it's just a really good name.
Yeah.
And it conveys the character.
Yep.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What a good name that is.
That is, I mean, considering he was like the ringmaster and like
Stunning Steve Austin.
Which Stunning Steve Austin is
not
a good
bad.
Name, but
not bad.
I never got the gist of like that his character was stunning.
In a Hollywood blonde
like,
type of
way.
He
seemed rough then.
Right.
Like he seemed like a rough customer.
He always talked like, ah, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
That.
So it's like the Stone Cold Steve Austin character name.
Yeah.
It has something to do with his wife. He couldn't think of a name.
And she said, drink your tea before it gets stone cold.
Right. His
and
British
he's like,
wife.
Oh, that's it. That's yep. Motherfucker, that's a name.
Yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You know what? It's a great name, and especially the time that he was named that, early 96, where
right.
he was portrayed as this ruthless heel.
His music so fit the Austin character, the Stone, not his infamous music, but at the time.
Yeah.
I think that music doesn't get enough credit. That
sinister.
Like, yeah, it's like it's cold. It's like literally cold.
And
like,
that's how he was.
Yeah, I mean, I get chills when I see a good character in general.
Sure.
And like that, when I hear that music when he won the King of the Ring and it's playing.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like, I know it's not the iconic glass shattering music.
No.
But I feel like the Stone Cold character is
right.
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mercilessly.
Defeats
Jake the Snake.
Yep.
Kicks his ass with like stitches in his mouth.
Yes,
and
in
like,
his lip, yep.
Yep. Like it's perfect. It fits the character.
Absolutely.
And I mean it was able to evolve as far as the name still fit what he was.
Still does.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but it just works.
Right.
That is a great contender, but I want to counter that because we usually do that before we pick one. Hulk Hogan. What about that?
It's a good name. I will say this. I find it, this might be controversial.
Go ahead.
I find it very generic wrestlery.
Because of the Incredible Hulk being
just
a thing?
Just because it's like, I'm a big guy. Like, I'm a Hulk. Like, it's
right.
like, it's just so, I don't know. It's a great name. It's iconic and everyone remembers it.
Yeah.
It's
alliterative, you know, HH.
But I mean, like, if you're just talking about the name.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
They're both good, man.
But I'm saying Hulk Hogan, I don't ever remember him portraying himself. I guess you could say the Hulk up was the closest thing to being a Hulk. Like the Incredible, the only thing I could think of is the Incredible Hulk from Marvel Comics.
Well,
right?
One of his original nicknames was the Incredible Hulk Hogan.
Right.
In the 80s, you know, early 80s when he was a heel.
The Incredible Hulk Hogan!
But I mean, like, does he, like a Hulk to me gets angry and uncontrollable and like,
well, the Hulk up is part of that, right?
Right. But
where
I
he's
mean,
like invincible mode,
but usually he's like brother and bro and you know,
dude.
And like, he's more like a surfer character or well, something.
He's from Venice Beach. Quinn.
Right. But all of a sudden now the Hulk name doesn't fit. And then he's calling himself, you know, the Immortal Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Like,
so you're not digging it, huh?
It's just, if I'm just talking the ring name only.
Yeah, that's what we're talking.
It's weird.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like it fits like a hand in a glove, I guess.
Well, are we going to find five more, or four more, I guess, that are better than Stone Cold Steve Austin? I don't think we will.
I don't know. I think Stone Cold's definitely in there.
Do you have another one before we pick one?
I do think Bret Hitman Hart is a freaking awesome name.
Do you really?
And the reason I think it's good is because the Hitman aspect, to me, it kind of fits in with the working on a body part you know, kind of thing. Like, when I think of a hitman, it's like he's going after a specific thing, right?
He's got a target.
He's got a target, right?
He's got a game plan.
I mean, even his logo, I believe, had a target on it.
Yeah,
right?
One of them did, and he was the excellence of execution, which tied in nicely, and his finisher was the sharp shooter.
Right, and he also had, like, his jacket. It was kind of like military-y,
like a
hitman working for the military, right? Like, but he's black, right? Because like, a hitman's not supposed to be, like, you know, wearing army fatigues. Well, he's in the background, and he's not really official, the hitman.
I don't know if hitmans wear hot pink either, but...
No, but...
that's a different story.
But that works with Hart.
Yeah, Hitman Hart is a great name.
He's a hitman.
Bret Hitman Hart is great. Is it better or worse than a Hulk Hogan?
I think it's better than Hulk
Hogan.
Do you
really?
Yeah, I think it's way more specific to the character.
Now, the interesting thing is out of those three people, that's his actual birth name. Steve Austin's real birth name, I think, was Steve Williams.
Right, but I mean, I'm thinking more the hitman.
Steve Anderson,
the
hitman part
of the character. Like, I feel it just fits. Like,
I do, too. And Bret Hitman Hart sounds great.
Right.
It sounds like a wrestler.
Right.
It sounds great when the Fink announces, well, all three of them do, but it sounds great when the Fink announces you or when you're talked about.
Yeah.
And you do get a sense of the character from that, those three words, Bret Hitman Hart.
Right. Another thing, too, is a hitman you can rely to go out there and take someone out.
Yes.
Bret could pick an opponent apart and literally take them out. They could cut their legs down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it just fits, you know?
Whew. This might be harder than I thought.
Right.
I'm going to throw one more, and then we'll start making some decisions.
Okay.
Here's one for you. And this is weird, because it's not one of my favorite wrestlers, but I think it's a great name. The Ultimate Warrior.
I am the Ultimate Warrior!
I like the Ultimate Warrior, the name. See, the thing with the Ultimate Warrior name, though, is when you think about the character, he's like a maniac. A warrior is like a fighter or a soldier or something.
Okay, fair.
That I can never... If anything, he should be called the Ultimate Maniac.
Well, that was the name of his team with Savage.
Right, exactly. But like he's not really a warrior. I don't understand why he's a warrior.
He was the Dingo Warrior before that, so that was just a takeoff of that.
I mean, I don't know. It's like...
He's a fighter.
He doesn't have a sword or anything.
But a warrior is a fighter.
I don't know.
And he's the best one, the Ultimate Warrior.
It's cool because it makes him seem like supreme or something, like above the competition.
Yeah,
and it's not a bad. I never said it was a bad name.
No, you didn't. Check the tape, folks.
But I do think there is a better name than that.
Okay.
I think the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Because
his name is his character. He thinks he's a macho man. He thinks he's the ultimate male, the alpha male. He thinks he's better than everyone. He's got a girlfriend that he mistreats.
Yep.
And like he's a chauvinist, and that's what you think about with a macho man, right?
And he wrestles like a savage.
He wrestles like a savage.
That's how he actually got his name. Ole Anderson named him that.
That's a great name
Randy
too.
Poffo.
He's got everything hits with that one. Yeah,
you know what? That's the perfect combination of everything. The Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Yeah.
All right, I think we got to start making some decisions, at least get one on here, or two maybe, and then we can start, you know, throwing out some other ones, paring it down. We've got Austin, we've got Hogan, Bret Hart, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior. You want to eliminate Warrior from this discussion, I'm assuming?
I'd eliminate Hulk first.
Really?
Yeah. Personally.
Who would you put?
Because all those names were better than him, even the Ultimate Warrior.
So who would you put on first?
Stone Cold, without question.
I can't argue with you.
Yeah,
I can't argue that. That's a great ring name.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound fake.
No,
it's not contrived, and it just works.
Right.
And you hear it, and you're like, "This guy must be a badass. This guy must be ruthless."
Yeah,
and he is. So I'm gonna go with you, Quinn. Let's put Stone Cold Steve Austin on as number one. Okay, now, we're eliminating Hulk Hogan?
I can't, with good conscience, put him on there.
Wow.
Because I don't think of him as a Hulk. I think of him as an American hero or something. Like, you know what's a good name, speaking of, like, American hero?
What?
Sergeant Slaughter is a cool name.
Oh, that is a good name, Quinn.
That really is a great name.
Like, that's freaking awesome.
Sorry,
like,
it's alliterative, which always helps.
Yeah.
And that, all mortal slime, is in order.
And
he was a drill sergeant. Like,
yeah, and when he was a heel, you know, it really made sense.
When he's a face, it makes sense. Because G.I. Joe and all that stuff,
Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Like, that is good.
Damn. Like,
can I throw another one at you?
Yeah, sure.
The Undertaker.
Very cool name.
Right?
It worked, all around.
It still works.
Yeah.
The Undertaker.
And you know what's so cool about it? Is that I think it even works when they did the Biker Taker thing. Because usually, like, bikers, I thought, like, have usually, like, a nickname or something like
Skull.
That. Like Skull and Ink Ball, right? Undertaker. Like, that's cool. Like,
it still works.
It still works.
It worked in every era that he wrestled in. This guy's the fucking Undertaker.
Yeah.
He's coming
to take your soul or something. Like, that's what they would always say, right?
Yes. I mean, like, that nickname transcended its initial mortician gimmick.
Yeah.
Into being something that, like, embodied and symbolized who the Undertaker as a wrestler was.
Right.
A ruthless,
undead,
callous, no pun intended with me, Mark Callous. Undead, or maybe regular, not dead.
Possibly a zombie.
Yeah. Lord of Darkness, whatever era it was, whatever version of him it was, the name always worked. It sounds great.
Yeah.
It sounds like a wrestler's name, and I think that might be one of the best ones.
Yeah, it might be.
You want to put it on?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so The Undertaker is number two on Rushmore. So we've got Stone Cold Steve Austin, and we've got The Undertaker. You're pretty much writing off Hogan. And
I got another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
Great name. Three R's.
It's so good.
Alliteration more than once. Well, that's really good.
I mean, there's really nothing else to say because it's like, he is like ravishing. His body is like a fucking, a sculpture or something. Like, you know what I mean?
And he is rude.
And he's a jerk. Yeah.
He is a jerk.
He never was a face.
No.
Like, ever.
No. I mean, he really wasn't. That's a good one. I have another one that I really like.
Yeah.
Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon's another cool one.
That might be one of the best. I just think about it.
I don't know. Like, I'm up there with Ravishing Rick Rude, though. I really like that name.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
That's right, little man. You're impressed. The whole world is impressed with Ravishing Rick Rude.
It just sounds like a badass.
Yes, it does.
And Razor Ramon's cool, too, because it's got that... I love the idea of the Scarface character.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's cool. Like,
it is cool.
Razor, and the name is good. It's a good, like, I know Tony Montana is what he's based off, and that's a good name by itself, but, like, if you were gonna make that into a wrestling thing, I think Razor Ramon is, like, exactly the right thing.
The bad guy, Razor Ramon.
The bad guy, Razor Ramon.
It conveys the fact that he is, you know, going to cut you up, right?
Right.
Like a razor. And it shows right in his name that he's Hispanic.
Right.
Not a character, obviously, not Scott
Hall. Because he rolls the R, too.
Vreza, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love Razor Ramon. I think it makes sense for a wrestler to be named that. You know what else is a good name, actually? Well, actually, you're not going to agree with me.
What?
Mr. Perfect. What do you think?
I mean... It might not. It's a little too to the point. Like,
nothing left to the imagination.
Yeah,
there,
it's kind of silly. Like, and like,
fine.
It's
okay,
like,
fair.
You know what would always confuse me about Mr. Perfect?
What?
Like, it's like, is his last name Perfect? Like,
Kurt Perfect.
Yeah, it's like, it's just really.
Quinn and I call him that sometimes.
Yeah, it's just a strange. I get what they were going for, and it's fine, and it's not even a bad name. It's just, it's a little. Come on.
Fine. Like, what about Diamond Dallas Page?
That's a cool name.
But it's like, it's not better than Ravishing Rick Rude,
right,
is it?
Ravishing, because Ravishing Rick Rude is like, it's just like oozing character.
That really is. I wouldn't have thought of that, Quinn, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
That really is one of the best ring names.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
What's funny is, too, is his real name is Rick Rude, R-O-O-D.
Yeah.
But all they did was change the last, because it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have looked as good.
Yeah, on a t-shirt or something.
And you wouldn't think in your mind, rude,
right.
You know, like the R-U-D-E.
Yeah.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah.
Are we confident in putting that in as the third one?
I love it. Like,
Yeah.
I find hard pressed to find something Like, whenever I think of wrestlers' names, that's like one I always think of, is like Ravishing Rick Rude. It's just cool. Like,
is it better than Savage or Bret Hart?
It might not be better than Savage, but it's better than Bret Hart. That, in my opinion,
I agree.
Yeah,
I like the name Bret Hitman Hart, but I wouldn't consider that one of the best. Hey, I think we can put Ravishing Rick Rude on there if you want to. Let's put him on.
Sure.
All right. So to recap here, folks, we are looking at Stone Cold Steve Austin,
yeah,
The Undertaker, and Ravishing Rick Rude. We have room for one more. In contention still is Randy Macho Man Savage, or Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Bret Hart. But
Hitman Hart.
I think Randy Savage trumps Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No, I think Randy Savage, definitely. I'm trying to think of any more that we may have missed.
What about Ric Flair?
Ric Flair.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair.
It's a cool name.
Not one of the best of all time.
Not one of the best of all time. It's very cool, though. Like, I do like it. Like,
Superstar Billy Graham.
Very cool name.
Oh, we still have Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter. Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
That's good, too. Yeah, Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Sergeant Slaughter's good, too. I forgot about that one.
Sergeant Slaughter's a damn good name. Like, it's a fine name.
It really is.
Yeah.
Is it better than Randy Macho Man Savage, though?
Man, that's a tough one.
I know. Andre the Giant?
Too
generic?
Too generic, yeah.
Despite what he became.
It's just his name with the giant on it.
Andre the French Giant.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. Sergeant Slaughter's looking pretty promising right now, but also the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. Those are the top two that I can think of right now. I'll give another minute or two here to think of a few more before we pick one.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sergeant Slaughter or Macho Man?
Sergeant Slaughter or Macho Man? Now, there might be someone listening at home. Maybe it's Jimmy Borden, or maybe it's Justin
Yelling some name.
Yelling something at us. And folks, that's what the Twitter is for, or the email, or the comments on our website.
Would we consider the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels? And here's why. Let me just make a case for
it. Go ahead.
He's supposed to be like a heartthrob or whatever, right? So the Heartbreak Kid, that all that shit fits, right? But I think the Shawn Michaels is actually a clever, like, that's like a rock and roll name. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. It that goes with the heartthrob thing and like...
Well, I know that he was, even though he was born as Michael Shawn Hickenbottom, his parents always called him Shawn.
Right.
So the first name part is like...
Yeah, but it just works anyway.
It works.
I mean, yeah.
The Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels is a good name, but it doesn't work, in my opinion, without the Heartbreak Kid part in front of it.
Right.
Whereas like Rick Rude, Randy Savage,
right.
You know what I mean? Like those names still work.
Mm-hmm.
It needs the nickname to really have the full emphasis, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I can't really think of anyone that pops out other than Randy Savage and Sergeant Slaughter.
And Lord knows I love Randy Savage, but I think Sergeant Slaughter might get the win here.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying it, but like, yeah, Sergeant, that's just freaking awesome. Like,
it is. Oh, I have one more wild card.
Okay.
It's a name. Think of it as a name, not as the announcer version. Gorilla Monsoon.
Mm.
That's a cool name.
It's cool.
But
it's
not
just,
one of the best?
I don't know. A gorilla, it's a little doofy.
Okay. Like,
yeah.
Doofy.
Yeah.
I think
Sergeant Slaughter.
We love Macho Man.
Yeah, we love him. But
he can't be the best at everything.
It's not like... This isn't really about liking the wrestler as much as it's not. It's just like the name.
The name. Sergeant Slaughter.
I mean, Rick Rude's on this list. He's not like the greatest of all time or anything. Although he's up there.
Big Boss Man is a cool name.
Yeah.
Bam Bigelow.
Still not as cool as Sergeant Slaughter.
No, it's really not.
It's really, you can't...
CM Punk?
I always thought that was a cool name, but I mean, like, what the hell does CM mean?
Chick Magnet.
Chipmunk. I don't know.
Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
I
can't go... I really can't think of anything better than Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter, I guess front and center. Welcome to Mount Rushmore, sir. All right, folks. Well, that is our Mount Rushmore of best wrestling names. And now, Quinn, it's time for me to pick one of the worst. And I'm going to start it off with one that I've never liked. We don't ever talk about this, but here's a name I've never liked. It's a notable wrestler, and it is The Big Show.
Well, it's a big...
Because it's a show.
I hate that name, too.
It's a bad name, isn't it?
I don't get it. Like, he was a giant.
Right. The Giant was a good name in WCW for him. That worked.
I mean,
the Big Show?
Here's the thing, though. What else would they call him? Like, in all honesty.
The
like,
Giant Paul White?
Yeah, but they couldn't use the Giant because he was called the Giant.
That's not trademarked. Can't trademark
they own Andre
noun,
the Giant.
An adjective. Look at the adjective.
What would they call him? Andre the Giant Jr.?
No, WCW tried to do that.
No, but they did. They couldn't call him Andre the Giant Jr.
Well, they wouldn't do that, first of all. But do you remember when he came in? I don't know if you remember this. Maybe some fans will. His initial nickname for like 3 weeks, literally, was the Big Nasty Paul White.
Oh, I thought it was the Big Show Paul White all along.
Then it became the Big Show Paul White. And then it became just the Big Show.
Why did they ever think it would be a good idea to keep Paul White?
Give it up for Paul White!
That's what I don't...
I don't know.
Are they trying to pull like a Scott Hall there or something? Like, I don't understand that one.
The reason I don't like the name, like, it does convey that he's big. You know, he's big, right?
Right.
Show? He's not a show. He's
a
wrestler.
Is he like a spectacle or something?
Maybe.
Like, is that what they're going for?
That's also the name of Todd Pettengill's radio show. The Big Show.
But is it the worst?
I don't know. What do you have?
When I think of these bad names, I think of like Bastion Booger or something. Like, well, how is that threatening in any way? And what the fuck even is a Bastion Booger?
It's someone that's really... A Bastion is someone that's, you know, really good or adept at something, right?
Right.
Like a Bastion of humanity.
Of boogers?
He was disgusting. I can't justify it.
Did he even pick his nose? Was that part of it? Like,
he probably picked his nose and ate it, for all I remember,
I
Quinn.
I don't remember, but I thought
that's
his
a bad
thing
name.
Was eating food. Like
he did eat a lot.
Shouldn't have been like, I don't know, like...
It's alliterative, though.
It's stupid.
It is really bad, but is it worse than Test?
Test is stupid.
Test
is stupid.
Think about it. Like, not the test, but not like the test Andrew Martin.
Well, is it like a test to beat him, I guess?
It's like an SAT score.
But here's the thing. Is he was Test, right?
Yes.
But, like, that would imply, like, that he's some, like, veteran wrestler. Like,
right.
He's the benchmark.
Yeah.
But he was always portrayed as, like, some young, up-and-coming guy.
Right.
So it never made any sense to me.
It would have been a decent, not great nickname if it was, like, Andrew, because that's his real name, Andrew the Test Martin. That's better.
Yeah.
But just Test?
Yeah.
That's, like, something that a kid at school doesn't want to take. It's not a good wrestler name. Test?
Yeah.
Like, who are you fighting? Test? What's this guy? World champion Test?
Yeah.
Like, real? It doesn't even good.
You know what's one that comes to mind? Because I just always thought it was a weird name for, like, what he was. And he was not, like, anything ever that big.
What?
But he's probably big enough and known. Remember Monty Brown?
Who?
He was, like, that guy that did the pounce. He was like a football player looking dude.
Monty Brown. I don't remember it.
He was, I don't know, he just,
I know the name, I don't remember who it was.
He did the pounce. That
I
was
don't remember
move.
The pounce.
Okay, well then we won't include him, but it is a, I just always thought it was a weird name.
Worse than Rad Radford?
Yeah.
Zip.
Well, that I'll give this to Rad Radford. At least met the character,
I guess. Like, so how about Zip?
Zip makes no sense. It's only his name because he's just Skip and Zip rhyme.
You know what I never liked either? X-Pac.
I actually liked it only because...
Of course.
No, only because he actually explained it the day he became X-Pac. Because
he was six or six-pack.
Right. He's like, enough with the numbers, I'm X-Pac. Like, that's fine.
What about this? While Badass Billy Gunn was a good name...
Yeah.
Mr. Ass.
I'm a nice man.
I think actually, if you
no.
want it, the one is a worse name.
The one Billy Gunn.
yeah,
but Billy Gunn is okay. I don't mind Billy Gunn. That's okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Ass was his actual name for a little while.
Wait.
In like 99.
Did they just completely remove the Billy Gunn?
He was just Mr. Ass.
That's pretty
bad. I'm not saying it's good. Road Dog is pretty bad too.
Yeah, but I get that one. Like,
I get it.
Because
he was
a
roadie,
and it's kind of cool, actually. I don't think it's a bad name or anything.
What about 1-2-3 Kid?
That one's kind of lazy. Like,
it is, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we gotta win. 1-2-3 Kid. That's your name. He was like the Thunder Kid or something before that. What was he like when he was just a jobber?
He was
Lightning Kid
was his main name. That's a much better name than 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah.
It is. All right, I have one for you.
Okay.
The more mainstream, less mid-90s crap. Triple H. If you think about the name, because remember, we're talking about names, right?
I get it.
If you hear the name and you're not really a big wrestling fan, you don't know that from 95 to 97, he was called Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Here's where I think that name
is broken. Triple H.
The thing that's broken about the name is the fact that they spell it with the T-R-I-P-L-E.
Instead of three H's?
Yeah, three H's makes more sense because you're like, oh, what's his, like, you want to, like, find out, like, what's his name? Like, right?
As a name, it means nothing. It doesn't say anything about his character.
No.
It doesn't sound like a wrestler.
I mean, it did when it was Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Right, and even that is Vince being like, oh, you know, like Leonia Helmsley, you know, and Patty Hearst, and Hunter is a pretentious fucking
Well, it makes sense.
Connecticut
it's just
name.
A rich guy.
Yeah, like, but when it became Triple H and the triple was just spelled out, it means nothing. It's a very bad ring name, and it's a prominent one. That's why I'm suggesting it, because this guy is the C, whatever he is in real life, COO, and also is a multiple-time world champion and thinks he's the best wrestler ever, and his name is fucking Triple H. So let me explain this. In the lore of great wrestlers, you have Harley Race, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan.
Right, they're all
Steve,
names.
Steve Austin, Randy Savage, Triple H. That might, on all those merits, have to go in there. I'm not saying we have to put it in right away, but think about that one, Michael. You got one for me?
One of them that I think of, I know, again, it's just a jobber name, but I always just thought it was weird, especially what he is. Like,
what?
Like Max Moon? Like what?
It was short for Maximilian Moons.
Is that real?
Yeah, but it's not good.
Why is he called that? Was he from the moon?
Like, yeah.
Wait, really?
He's from the future, I think, or something? He had the jetpack.
Well, I thought Techno Team 2000 was from the future.
Travis and Troy?
Yeah. That's a shitty name.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick to my guns here on Triple H, Quinn. That's one of the worst big-time wrestling names ever. It really is. I'm serious.
I mean, are we only considering big time names?
No, we're
I
not
it
considering
was like all ring names. Like,
we're not considering only big time, but I'm just saying that one sticks out like a sore thumb in terms of like wrestlers that actually are something and they have a shitty name. That's what I'm trying to. It's a really bad name. If you didn't know what that was, you'd be like, why is this guy called Triple H? Think about it.
Yeah, it's confusing. I'll give you that.
Triple H is his name. His name's actually Triple H.
Yeah.
That's what they call him. He's not Hunter Hearst Helmsley anymore.
I'm so like, I think, okay, you know what I think the only problem with it is? It's like, if
what?
You're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Here's the issue is that if you're, say you're a wrestling fan, right? And you've watched the whole time.
Sure.
It makes 100% sense to you because you've watched him since he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Fine.
That's the problem, right? It's like, so if you're consistent with the product and you know the product, you know why, and that's kind of a callback to you. It's like, you know, we're remembering that he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
And when Stephanie calls him Hunter on camera, it makes sense.
Fine.
Like, Hunter, the WWF is my business.
But in the same vein, if you're a wrestling fan, you know all of these great names and what they signify and what they mean. Like I said, like Hulk Hogan, like Bret Hart, you know, things like that. And then Triple H. So it works both ways,
I guess. I don't know. I'm a little hazy with it, but
are you really?
Yeah, because I do think it does deserve some merit for at least calling back to the original character. That was the one thing I liked about Triple H is that Hunter Hearst Helmsley is somewhere in the back of there.
True. Like, Stephanie does still call him Hunter.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's not bad.
I can't let him get away, but we can keep talking here. Okay. I'm not going to forget about him, though.
Okay. Who else did we have? I know you had proposed a couple more.
Well, I said Test. Yeah. I think that's really bad.
I think Test is bad, actually.
You think it's bad?
Yeah.
Is it worse than Meat?
Yeah, Meat.
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 That was his name. It wasn't a nickname. It wasn't like Sean Meat Stasiak.
Yeah. It was Meat. Just Meat. And then he was like, had some odd relationship with like
PMS.
Jackie and Terry and
Meat.
Ryan Shamrock, I think.
Yeah,
is
I
she
think
involved?
So. Yeah, let's ask her. I can text her now and ask her.
What was
Meat?
Wait, what was
Meat
Beaver Cleavage?
Oh God!
Yeah,
he's coming up again. Winky. Yeah,
Winky himself.
That name makes no sense because
You always bring that up.
Here like, is why.
Yeah.
Because Beaver Cleaver was the Leave It to Beaver character, right? Beaver Cleavage is obviously Vince Russo trying to be funny, but she...
Yeah.
Was the one with the cleavage, not him. Yeah. So his name makes no sense.
I think he's the clear-cut winner, like as the first like George Washington pick here.
Into Death Valley?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be more like the Benedict Arnold into Death Valley?
I don't know. He's a traitor or something. I don't know.
You know what, Quinn? Beaver cleavage into Death Valley.
Yeah.
You're dead.
I couldn't even not like
laugh during the soundbite.
Yeah.
All right. Beaver Cleavage is number one, but I think Test and Meat both deserve.
Test and Meat are in there.
You know what else was really bad?
Yeah.
And I know you might not be as upset about it as I am.
What?
But okay. Do you remember the Spirit Squad?
Yeah.
Kenny from the Spirit Squad. He's like, I'm a real wrestler now. And his name was Kenny Dykstra, and I'm going to tell you why that one bothers me. There was a baseball player in the 90s.
Well, wasn't that what it was supposed to be?
Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah.
That's why it bothered me, because it's such a stupid thing and so lazy. Don't choke on your Coke there. To name yourself after a mediocre, kind of good baseball player.
Was it had something to do because he was like an athlete in the
Spirit
Squad? I'm trying to like,
stupid.
I'm trying to put two and two together.
That
like,
name always pissed me off. It doesn't make it one of the worst, though.
No.
But it always pissed me off. But you know what name I don't like?
Mm-hmm.
The Rock.
Why? I don't get this.
Because The Rock
is
only called The Rock because his original name was Rocky. This is similar to the Triple H problem that we're having.
I don't think it's a problem, because I think that like just the name The Rock is always cool. Like there's no...
Is it?
Yes. It's like they called Don Morocco Don the Rock Morocco or
but
whatever.
But he was a rock.
Yeah,
he
but
was
the
a
rock
big
was
stone
a rock.
Carved mountain. The Rock was mainly an asshole. That talked about shoving stuff sideways up your butt.
Yeah, but he thought of himself as so cool that like he was the Rock of the WWE. Like he was.
You're reading too much into that.
I don't know. He only started calling himself the Rock when he got that like cool shiny shirt character with the sunglasses.
No,
and
in late 97 he became the Rock. But I know I'm not going to convince you of it. So
that's
we're not going
to.
We're not going
to. Like
folks, let us know what you think of the Rock as a ring name.
That's
but
fine as a name,
Edge.
I have no problem with that name. I think that's
really
a very cool name.
You like the fact that there was a wrestler named after the guitarist of U2?
Yeah, but he looks like a rock star. The guy, I've told you this before. He looks like...
You have.
And you said you agreed with it.
He looks
like a freaking rock star. What else? Like, that makes sense.
But on the edge of what? What's he on the edge of?
No,
why is his name Edge?
No. It's kind of like
what does it
Sting,
mean?
Right? Like the wrestler.
If I ever...
No. But it's like, it's just like a cool rock star name. Like, it's just Edge, Sting.
You think you know him.
You think you know him. And also, he also had cooler names when he was like the Rated R Superstar Edge.
I hate the name, but again, I know there's no convincing you, and we can't have the show go on for 3 hours.
Right.
So I'm going to, fine. Okay, fine. I won't. The Miz. Hate it.
Yeah.
What is a Miz, Quinn? Why don't you tell me what a Miz is?
Well, his last name is Mizarian, right?
So what?
Well, it's just like a cool, like, bro name, you know, like, your friends call you like a nickname, like they call me Quinn. Like,
true.
You know what I mean?
Your
like,
name is Mike Quinn.
Yeah,
Michael
Quinn, right? It's
true.
What are they going to call him? Mike Mizarian? That's his wrestling name? Like, that's stupid.
It's not that bad.
It's just something that developed over time. It's kind of like The Rock.
Which I don't like.
But I like it. I like that. That's fine.
Okay, fine.
And that's why Triple H still fits, because it's just like...
I hate it.
It developed over time. It's like a nickname that came about instead of... It has history to it, you know?
Okay, fine. Do you have any more, or else I think we're going to want to put Meat in there.
About like Dino Bravo or something like that.
That's okay.
What?
It's just supposed to sound like kind of pompous, kind of cool in the same breath.
I guess.
It's not too bad. I'm not saying he's a good wrestler, but it's not that bad. Do you have any?
I don't know. Like Meat and Test are really like,
Meat
I almost want to just like
really
put them
bad.
Right in there.
I
like,
know, I almost do too.
Damien Demento.
Even that kind of sounds intriguing.
Yeah, I guess.
If nothing else, it's like intriguing. You know what I mean?
If Austin was eventually called Frosty McFreeze or whatever they were going to call him, that would have been.
Ice Dagger.
Yeah. What about Glacier?
it only makes sense because of his character. See, it actually does make sense. He was like Sub-Zero, but they couldn't call him Sub-Zero. So,
ever freeze anyone? Was he slow? Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, his debut took like 18 months. What about Mongo McMichael?
That's just cool. I love that name.
Yeah.
No, because he's like, his character is like a football player.
Right.
So like, Mongo is such a football player-y name. Like, that's just so like...
It is, you're right. Yeah, I can't argue that.
And he literally comes in with like football jersey on and stuff. Like,
I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember
that.
He had his number on his coat and everything. Like,
big doofus.
Literally is a football player.
What about IRS?
I mean,
that's
he
not
is
good,
a tax
right?
man.
Yeah, I know, but what a stupid name.
Yeah.
Test and meat are hard to justify, and I know...
Mortis.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not bad. Wrath. They're all fine. Yeah. That whole era is okay. Tommy Dreamer.
No, it puts him to sleep. Makes sense.
What puts him to sleep?
Yeah. He makes his opponents go to sleep, like the Sandman.
His finisher wasn't the sleeper.
I don't know. It's really not that bad.
It's a
bad.
Really stupid name, but it's
didn't
fine.
He wear like pajama pants when he first came?
No, he wore like stripper like suspenders.
I feel like there's something to Tommy Dreamer I'm not remembering.
He had a pretty boy gimmick before he wore the t-shirt.
Oh, he's dreamy. Okay, yeah, that's fine then.
Is it?
No, if he's a pretty boy, you're dreaming about him, you know? That, or the ladies are, at least.
Ladies love cool Tommy.
Yeah.
Test and meat. Both of them?
Yeah, fuck it. Just
fuck
get them
it.
Out
Both
of here.
Both of them. Test and meat. All right, we got a double going in, folks. And another one. So we're really saying something about Vince Russo and the Attitude Era in 99.
Yeah, these are some shitty names.
All within the same span of time, we've got Beaver Cleavage, Test, and Meat.
Yeah.
But I agree.
Yeah.
So folks, obviously remember to tell us. We're doing this on the fly. We might be missing stuff, so let us know what you think.
Right.
We got one more, Michael.
Yes, we do.
Triple H. The Big Show. That's not very good.
What about like Sheamus?
Yeah, I was thinking Sheamus too, but
I get it. Yeah,
he's Irish.
Yeah,
JBL is shitty because it's just initials. I don't like initials and things that
here's
don't.
Here's the thing with the initials in that case.
Yeah,
just in that specific case, like that's such a douchey rich person name.
Okay,
like I get
fair
it
enough.
For the character.
You justified
like
it.
Yeah, like
that's fine.
That's just so like
I won't argue it.
Yeah, Texas rich man like JR. Okay.
Yeah, like was, JR. Right, yeah. JR Ewing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Jim Ross. Yeah. Okay, I can't.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Fine. You know what's a stupid one?
Mm.
This guy was in. Well. He was in TNA and WWE.
What?
The Pope, Elijah Burke. But he was like, called himself The Pope, I don't get it.
Elijah like, Burke is not a bad name.
No, but
honestly.
But he only goes by The Pope anymore.
What about Cute Kip?
Stop. Actually, do you know why that was his name?
Yeah, he was with the What's Her Faces.
The Beautiful People.
That
made 100% sense.
I know, it's just funny. Yeah. Cute Kip.
It's actually good.
It's not good.
It makes sense when you're basically like the little bitch boy for the ladies. Like,
yeah. Well, let's not get carried away in our praise here of it. Battle Cat. What a waste of a good wrestler, too. Brady Boone.
Oh, yeah, that was Brady Boone, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then it was Bob Bradley. Battle Cat.
Well, is he a cat?
He wore a cat mask, but that was about it.
I guess it sort of makes sense.
Avatar? That was Leaf Cassidy.
Avatar.
Oh, Leaf Cassidy is a bad name, too.
Leaf Cassidy. Al Snow, but that was fine.
That's fine. Yeah, Al Snow's okay. Isaac Yankum is stupid, but it's a gimmick name, so I'm not as upset about it.
Okay, the problem is it's like you got to find something that doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, Triple H.
I still think Bastion Booger doesn't make sense to, like, if he is an eating guy, like, why is he not, like, Fatty McSlob? I don't know. Like, why is it not food related? Like, hamburger or something. Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't that make more sense, though?
Hamburger.
Yeah.
Now, WCW had one, I think it was called, it was the Spider-Man ripoff called Arachnaman. That's pretty bad. Arachnaman.
Yeah, but I mean, that's very literally what he is, right? What about PN News or whatever?
Yeah, what does PN stand for?
He was the rapper guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't get that. Like, what?
I don't know. Mabel.
Mo.
Yeah, yep. Mo.
Fucking Mo.
Fucking Mo. Are we putting it in? Beaver Cleavage, Test, Meat, and Mo.
Sounds like the Three Stooges.
Why, you?
I was, you know what's funny about Mo is I had thought about him earlier in this thing and I forgot about Mo. I forgot about him. Mo is pretty bad.
Mabel's bad, but Mo?
You know what's amazing about that tag team?
Mo!
It's, you've already got a really bad name, right. And then they found a worse name.
With a worse nondescript wrestler, can you find a more, like, nondescript, less important wrestler than Mo?
Yeah, Mo is bad.
Mo. Fuck it.
Yeah, Mo.
Mo. He was a notable tag team.
Yeah.
He qualifies. So, let's put...
Mo.
No Mo. So we've got beaver cleavage, test, meat.
Yeah.
Mo. Folks.
I don't know how you top that list.
Folks, let us know what you think. You can do that by tweeting at us at OVP Podcast. Email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. Go to our website, OVPPodcast.com, or go to our Facebook group and leave us a message.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Mo right after this.
You think you know me, Emily?
What's that? What are you shaving me with today?
Now, calm down. This is Edge Protective Shave.
Foam, you call that protection? Why does he do this to me?
Now, come back. Edge is a unique gel that puts down a coat of protective lubrication first before it turns into a rich, wet lather.
Protects against nicks and cuts better than bubbly foams.
And you shave closed.
And Edge comes in menthol, too. Friends again.
Edge gel makes a difference.
Friends.
Your friend will agree.
Hey, it's Sean Mooney. I may no longer be in the event center, but if I was, I'd be talking about our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. All right, boys, let's get to it.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast, episode number 32, May 22nd, 2017. Michael Quinn, guess what?
What?
We're reviewing something.
Oh.
You know what we're delving into today, folks?
Oh, boy.
This is interesting, actually. This is UWF Fury Hour number 10. Now, this deserves some explanation.
Now, when was this? Like
December, December of 90.
Okay.
Early December 1990. We don't have the exact date.
Okay.
Here's what this is, folks. Now, there were two promotions named the UWF. That is the Universal Wrestling Federation.
Now, yeah, this confused me a lot because wasn't the Bill Watts thing UWF or whatever?
In the mid-80s, Bill Watts renamed Mid-South to Universal Wrestling Federation, UWF. However, by 1990, this fella named Herb Abrams, a very eccentric, quirky fellow.
He's quite eccentric from what I saw.
He decides to start a wrestling promotion. And I'm going to give the dude credit. He actually had an impressive package here. He got some big names and not even too washed up, which we'll see.
Well.
And some up-and-comers, though, Quinn.
Yeah.
We'll see that. Now, the UWF was around until 1996.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, this shit? Are you serious?
I am serious.
Was it like on every week till 1996?
I don't know, but it was around until 96. Now, Herb Abrams died in June of 96.
Wait a second. Is this like some kind of mafia thing or somebody killed him?
No, he was high on cocaine and was naked in baby oil, swinging a baseball bat at one of his girlfriends. And the cops called him and took him into custody.
What?
And then he had a heart attack.
No way.
This
is
real.
That's not a real story.
Totally true.
Are you fucking serious?
June of 96.
I mean, he looks crazy here, but like... Yeah.
Not like that kind of crazy, though.
I thought maybe he was a little eccentric, but...
So that's
so
just
wait,
a little
he
background.
He had a heart attack getting arrested.
After he was arrested in police custody, he had a heart attack, probably from all the cocaine that he had been doing. Now, this is a very interesting show, folks.
The and fuck? I did not know this. I'm absorbing this.
This is why we do this.
Yeah.
Now, Quinn, before we go through the show, we'll just a very brief summary. This is not as bad as it sounds it would be.
No.
Say that up front.
Quite entertaining.
It's actually very refreshing, especially after, thank you, Richard Land, last week having to do frickin' challenge from 95.
Yeah.
This was a nice change of pace. We love you, Richard. I'm just saying. Now, we got this from the YouTube channel Mabel Mania.
Speaking of Mo.
So, folks, we start off with a on-screen graphic that says feet, fists, and fury.
Why?
And Quinn, you know that it looks like...
Yeah, it looks like something very specific from the WWF in the 90s.
Yes.
The Stridex logo.
Yes. So, we get a recap of Chief J. Strongbow versus Cactus Jack. But it's not the Chief J. Strongbow from the 70s and 80s, Quinn.
This confused the shit out of me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so let me explain here.
Go ahead.
I kept saying, like, wow, Chief J. Strongbow looks, like, really young. Like, and, like, the whole show.
Yep.
I didn't realize until later.
Exactly.
And I was like, what the fuck happened? Like, he was, like, all fat and shitty with Tatanka and that other thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? How did he, like... What did he come through, like a time machine or something?
Right.
And like
the whole show
up here,
and we find out it's actually his son,
yes,
Joe Jr.
However, they just call him
right.
Chief J. Strongbow, and
so they,
it's the same gimmick.
It's, yep,
nothing's
dressed
different.
The same. Yeah. Everything is
not,
the same.
It's not even acknowledged. Like Bruno, like is like acting like it's just
yes.
normal.
Yes. So we get that recap of that. And Cactus is killing him until, of all people, David Sammartino runs in. And you had noted to me, Quinn,
mm-hmm.
David Sammartino was like all skinny.
Yeah.
Like it
okay,
didn't
so,
look like WrestleMania 1 David Sammartino.
Here's the thing with David Sammartino is I knew he got skinnier because he made that WCW appearance.
Yeah.
And he was all skinny like
right,
that.
Right, right.
But I don't know what the hell happened because he used to be bloated before this.
He did. Steroids. He went off the gas.
Yeah, well, I've heard that his dad got very pissed at him about the steroids.
Probably because you need to be in good condition.
Yeah.
So then Wildman Jack Armstrong runs in who to help Cactus.
Who?
Strongbow yells at Cactus. So we have a grudge match today. Now this intro. Quinn,
this intro is something. This looks like it's on cocaine.
Yeah. Because one of the things is like there's this UWF logo in the middle of the screen.
And it's like rainbow colored or something.
But there's like faded pictures of the wrestlers.
But you can't really see them. It's like they're very hazy. It's like if you were high and you
yeah.
like, were fading out or something.
This is great,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pictures of like, you know, you got the Hollywood sign, a lot of LA landmarks.
Yeah. It's very long.
It's like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
What is this intro?
I don't know.
Why is it so long? So we are hosted by the promoter himself, the man, Herb Abrams, and as Quinn alluded to, Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah.
Very good condition, Herb.
I may have spoiled a little bit, but it is
okay.
Bruno Sammartino himself, good condition. It's like we're watching championship wrestling
yeah.
or something
God.
With a crazy ass, like Joey Styles sounding, like cocaine
yeah.
ridden.
He's not a bad announcer,
yeah,
though.
He's not bad.
I'm sorry if you disagree, folks. I really didn't think
he's
he was
really
bad.
Not that bad.
He's really not bad. So last week, Brian Blair, really,
oh
was
God.
Attacked by, why can't we escape this guy in 1990?
Yeah.
Bob Orton.
Bob Orton, by the way, he's awesome as usual.
He is.
Like,
he is.
I have no problem with him, but it is kind of remarkable that he's like everywhere at this point.
Nawa was from the summer of 90.
Yeah.
From like the, you know,
this
few
guy
episodes
just
ago.
Didn't care, did he?
And
he
he's like, I'll go to this.
Yeah. It's like, oh, now you need some help over there. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like Ben Hurt or something in the Secrets of Wrestling last week.
Ben Hurt.
Yeah.
So Brian Blair is attacked by Bob Orton while Coach John Tolos is dicking around in the ring.
So Coach is back, huh?
Yeah, I didn't think we were ever gonna run into him except for SummerSlam
and like Rushmore, like worst managers or something. Remember that?
Yeah. So we get a promo with Blair and he's yelling, he's got this lady named Honey with him, and he's yelling about how Orton headbutted this girl named Honey.
Well, he did,
because I don't need people like you, Bob Orton, headbutting a woman from behind.
So she's just sitting there in a chair during Blair's promo.
Yeah, she's sitting there in the chair like she's like paralyzed or something from a headbutt. Like, she's not even like holding her head.
She's like fine.
She's
just
like
sitting.
She's like, he's like, stay in this chair. Don't move.
And then
yeah.
Quinn, you say to me, get it? She's Honey and he's a bee.
Right. That's what immediately occurred to me. I'm like, oh my God, they named his girl because he's a killer bee, but they can't say he's a killer bee.
Right.
So his girlfriend's Honey.
That's not bad, actually. But then who wanders in? Captain Lou.
I would say he saunters in.
Strolls in.
And he, like, just kind of like starts patting her and like
he does nothing of note.
He's like, are you okay? Like,
he's not even being loud or bombastic. Yeah, he's like the compassionate.
It's very not Captain Lou.
Yeah,
it's very like, weird.
You okay, honey? You
yeah.
Good?
No, you sit still, honey. Just sit still.
No, I'm gonna go.
Thanks, Captain.
So then, anyway, you ever hear green screens? Because this is filmed in front of a black screen.
Yes, it's very weird. Usually, a green screen they put like, you know, space or. the fans.
The desert
or something, but it's just literally just a green screen of a black screen.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Then we throw to a promo with Orton and Coach, and it's actually a very funny promo. Yeah. Orton's funny
He's
the whole
like
time.
He's like posing and shit.
Yeah.
It's and not bad.
Quinn, you said to me, Coach looks older than he did at SummerSlam.
Yeah. It's like he de-aged or he got some work done by the time SummerSlam rolled around the next year, but.
And then Coach actually talks.
You really think you know how to wrestle? What do you know about wrestling?
Yeah, I've never heard him talk other than his whistle before this. So
this is great. I had no problem with this promo. I'll tell you what's not great. Our opening contest, it's Larry Zbysko with the AWA world title.
How is that okay?
And Herb Abrams says it too.
Okay, so is the AWA, like, what is the deal with them at this point?
They're
in late
going
90?
Out of business. They're like, it's December. They're like out of business.
They have to be like out of.
But
like,
Larry still had the belt.
So he just got to carry that shit around?
I think so. They were done by December 90.
I know they were. That's why I think the supercar challenge or whatever that shit was from the
team Double Dare?
Double Team Challenge. What was it called?
AWA Double Dare. I don't know.
Tag Team Champions Challenge Series.
Sure.
Tag Team Challenge Series, I think is what it was.
I think you're right. But Zbysko anyway is fighting some geek. They don't say his name. I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Bruno does not like Larry Zbysko, and it's probably Quinn because Larry Zbysko kept wandering into Bruno's yard.
Yep, as Larry famously told us in his Hall of Fame. How is this guy in the Hall of Fame?
he sucks
here.
He always sucks.
He's not even anything.
He's really not that
good. He's just the guy that wears the belt too high up his waist.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And he also looks like Craig T. Nelson from Coach sometimes.
Yeah.
Or Jim Belushi.
Well, the coach is in this company too, so I guess we got a bunch of coaches running around.
Herb's like, yeah, Larry's got the AWA belt, but I want to see if he can win the UWF belt.
And I say he's garbage.
So then, of course, skinny David Sammartino wanders out and Herb's like yelling about it. Like, oh my God, it's David Sammartino.
Hey, Bruno, David, your son has appeared in the ring again this week.
Yeah, that big superstar, David Sammartino, from WrestleMania 1 in some unnotable match.
Awful. Stallfest, of course, because it's Larry Zbysko. Yeah. And I noticed, Quinn, this arena, I use that term lightly, you said it might look like a hotel conference room, like the Comfort Inn.
Yeah, something like the Comfort Inn. It's like, you know, like every hotel has like a conference room where people yes. can meet. It's like that, but like with a ring in the middle of it and the fans. But if you notice, the reason why I think it's a conference room is because the fans are only, there's like three or four rows yeah. in certain areas.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good, but the show is produced very well.
Right.
I'll give them that. It's much better than NAWA.
It's much better than even AWA probably was.
Yeah, by like, 90.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The ref is really fat. You notice that?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Lefty from Lucha.
Yes. The last name's Hernandez, too, but that's not Lefty's last name, right?
No, it's not. Lefty Borden. So we get a horrible suplex by Larry. He didn't even protect him, Quinn.
Yeah. Nothing.
I guess he didn't watch Secrets of Wrestling.
It looked like a botch, and it looked like they didn't follow the Secrets of Wrestling special. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking there.
So Larry wins with a fucking
is good.
Abdominal stretch. Now, folks... I swear, I thought it was a rest hold, so I like started just fast forwarding slightly.
Yeah, you literally went like, I want to say like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
to just see like if we can get past a little bit of it.
Yeah.
That was the finish. He beat him with an abdominal stretch.
Yep.
Abdominal
and Herb's
stretch.
All, you know, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, all like excited. And I was like, why does Herb talk like a orthodontist or something? He's like, oh, that's it. Okay.
That's it, Dad. That's it, Dad.
Okay.
So then we get commercials. We get a commercial for the Nordic track, and it's just like some slob on the couch.
Well, here's the thing. When he gets up, he actually isn't a slob.
It's weird.
And he's got the high socks.
And his dog's like all happy for him.
It's like, good job on that Nordic track there. But those Nordic track commercials, they were like long.
This was like 4 minutes.
Well, see, that was their advertising method, though. It was supposed to be like an infomercial. I remember that about Nordic Track. So
now,
that was interesting.
Did the Bowflex do that too?
Yeah, but we don't like to talk about the Bowflex on this show. So
Anyway, we cold cut right back to Louis Spicoli, Rad Radford, speaking of him.
Yeah. How did Rad Radford make two appearances on this program today?
I don't know, but he's singing the theme from New York, New York.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Yeah, and he's more like a pretty boy. Like, he's not.
Yeah.
That's what's weird to me.
He's like, I'm the cutest one.
Yeah, it's like,
what?
Huh?
You're Rad Radford.
You're Louis Spicoli.
You're the one
name is that here, and yeah. That's a crap name for like a pretty boy.
You're the one that was so fat, the body Donna's didn't even want to deal with you.
Oh, remember he was like the shitty body Donna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we get, unfortunately, Colonel De Beers versus some fat slob that Quinn and I loved.
Yeah.
This fat jobber looked kid.
He looked like the fat guy from Pee Wee.
He did.
Remember the one with the tub and he had the mole on his face?
He looked like that guy.
Remember he had the tub and he was playing with the toy boats and he was a rich kid?
I really wanted this guy to win because
he even had the red pants.
He did?
Like that guy.
This guy was awesome, but obviously Colonel De Beers is the superstar here. But so we cut then.
Mm.
Now, Colonel De Beers, folks, he has a South African apartheid gimmick, I guess you would say, right?
Yeah.
And he's white. And so he is a racist, apparently. That's the gimmick here.
I couldn't believe that this was a thing in 1990.
Hey, Herb was willing to pull no punches.
And there's signs in the crowd, by the way, to hint at this. There's like, we don't like this racist or something.
Right,
literally it says racist.
Which they shouldn't like racist.
Yeah.
Like, that's
but
good.
It was just
a good thing.
No, it's not like they're promoting anything like awful here.
They're being right about it.
They're being right about it, but it's very edgy. For 1990, it's very, like, I'm very surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. So we go to the referee, Larry Sampson, and he's with Herb Abrams, and Herb's like, here, I have some paperwork here for you to sign to suspend Colonel De Beers for 180 days. And Larry Sampson's like, no.
Yeah,
not going to. It was weird.
It was weird because I didn't know if they were going for like he was bullied or if he wanted to get. But the other way they could have been saying is that he was going to get even himself.
Correct. Like, I think that was the implication.
Yeah, I couldn't tell though. Like in all honesty, because it was actually it was done well because it was left a mystery, open ended. Like it was like was he talked out of it or was he like gonna?
He's gonna take care of business.
He's gonna take care of business.
Right.
It could have been either or. So
I do know this though, Quinn. The ref has a Ricky Morton mullet.
Yeah, this ref is something, all right.
I've got to say, Quinn, De Beers looks like someone's dad in Ohio after like a Little League game.
Yeah.
Just like shitty hair, no shirt, like camo pants.
Camo pants.
Like, my son's team lost.
Yeah, he looks like he wants to go hiking or something. I don't know.
Drinking.
Yeah.
So Fatty gets some offense and everyone's all happy about
like
the fat guy.
I will say this is a proper heel because anything like against him, like
it was awesome.
People like really upset in the crowd.
And I don't blame them.
Of all races.
Yeah. No, yeah, like people that you think would agree with the beers were upset.
Of all like everyone,
yes.
Women, children.
Everyone's upset at the beer. Like, it's a good heel. I'll give them that. So big fat guy gets thrown off the top rope. And it's more like Colonel De Beers versus Colonel Cholesterol.
That's a good one.
I'm laughing at my own joke. Yeah. So then there's like a top rope, like a head shove by De Beers, and it gets
basically
the win.
Yeah. And this is my favorite part. This is my mullet ref, Ricky Morton, the ref or whatever.
Yeah.
He gets on the ground, right? And he counts like if you wanted to hear like the sound of it, it's this. There's literally like
it's the lightest three count I've ever seen.
He's like tiptoeing with his like the ends of his fingers like as slow as possible and trying not to make any noise.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
So then De Beers twirls his shitty mustache and there's a lot of real heat going on.
I mean, there is people mad. Like everyone.
It's
like
a
they're
good
yelling
gimmick.
At him and
I'll give
stuff.
Him that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he got his comeuppance. I don't think Herb was stupid.
There's no way.
Right.
Like, this is like this crowd's pissed.
Yeah, and it worked really well. By the way, this is filmed in Marina Del Rey, California. So we get the Wild Thing versus Louis Spicoli. Now, Wild Thing comes out in this elaborate entrance. He's hugging people, picking up kids, holding up some junky t-shirt.
Yeah, like, I don't know why he's so over, because we find out a little bit later that he might not be as over as they portray him.
Right. He's also dressed like Marty Jannetty. And I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah, sort of.
Like a jacket.
It's like a rocker angle, kind of. Or like gimmick.
But he sucks.
Yeah.
So Spicoli, though, is dressed like Jim Neidhart.
That's the weird thing. I swear. Like, I thought like Jim Neidhart had run off from WWF for a minute or something. Yeah. Like,
he's got the pink tank top, the black pants with the stripe in the middle. Yeah.
But the stripe is green.
It's green. But it's still Jim Neidhart attire. So anyway, we have the fat ref again.
There's only two refs.
It's mullet and fat.
Mullet and fat, yeah, basically.
Lots of stalling again. The crowd is into the whole show, though. I'm going to give them that.
Yeah,
into the show.
I will say, everyone's maybe not over where they want them,
no.
Like, in the right alignment, but they are
500 people
over.
Are into it, you know? Then, this is what you were talking about, Quinn. The crowd chants, Wild Thing sucks.
Yeah, and this, it might be a spoiler, but this isn't the first time that a face in this show gets booed.
Right.
Like, really booed.
This is true. Yeah, because Spicoli's clearly a heel.
Yeah.
Spicoli is not a face. Now, I have a very important question, Quinn.
Yeah.
Why would anyone, whether it's Herb Abrams or anybody, hire Bruno Sammartino to talk?
Are these guys going to wrestle, or are they going to...
I swear, like, I didn't get it when the WWF did it.
Right.
And the only rationale is that he was a former champion.
Right.
But why would anyone hire him again? Like, he's nothing now.
He's not known for his talking.
By 1990, no one gives a shit about Bruno Sammartino. No offense, but no...
Steve Bennett does.
Yeah. But nobody really gives a shit about Bruno Sammartino.
The good thing, Herb. Like, that's all this is.
Yeah.
The good, doing the thing.
Right.
Like, great. I know you were a champion in, like, the fucking 60s and early 70s.
Yeah. It's enough.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. It's all good condition all the time.
Good condition. Yeah. Bodybuilder. Good. Yeah. Good for you.
Anyway, so we get a nice kick by Louis Spicoli. It gets a two count. Wild Thing... almost falls off the fucking top
now,
rope.
It's interesting, though. Doesn't he try to jump to the outside?
Yeah, to
which
the
for
outside.
1990 is crazy, but then he, like, fucks it all
up.
He
almost falls off.
Louis Spicoli, like, gets pancaked. Like,
yeah,
not in a good way. Like a botched way.
And then some guy yells, "He's a woman!"
Yeah.
At Wild Thing.
Yeah.
Then we get an ugly-ass top rope splash back in the ring. That gets a three count for
Wild
Thing.
Another light three count. Now this is a trend, right?
Now Fatty is doing it.
Yeah, so everyone just counts like I literally actually just like did like a soft clap into the mic. But I said, you know, he's like the Roman Reigns of UWF.
Wild Thing. Just
pushing the shit out of him and nobody likes him.
So we get a promo for Bruno's book. They don't mention CODs, so maybe they take them.
Finally, we've been waiting all these years for CODs to be.
Someone needs to take CODs. Now we get a Gold's Gym commercial. It's for everyone. And by everyone, I mean Reggie Jackson.
No, really. TV, cameras, and going on and shit like that.
Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Carl Weathers.
So they're making excuses so they don't have to be the chump to get whipped in front of the whole civilized world.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Dolph Wigno.
Please get your hand out of my face and stop calling me Hulk.
Judge Reinhold. What?
Well, it looks like we've got a mistrial.
David Hasselhoff.
I had everything but money could buy.
Billy Crystal?
You look marvelous.
Yeah.
Don Rickles?
What an evening, Mike. It's so good to see you. I didn't know you were still on.
Yeah.
This is the best one.
Roseanne?
Roseanne.
She never went to a gym.
Well, I mean, don't be Quinn. So unfair to Roseanne. She did lose a lot of weight in the mid-90s.
Not in 1990.
Not by that point. The Roseanne picture they show is like the Roseanne with the short hair and crappy.
She doesn't belong in a Gold's Gym commercial. She belongs in a Rolds Gold commercial.
It was like the picture they showed was like season 2 Roseanne, I would say. Just about.
We get a nice promo from B. Brian Blair for the UWF merch.
Right.
Maybe this is why the Sheik hates Brian Blair for doing this shit.
This commercial's terrible.
There's like three confused kids wearing horrible white t-shirts.
I swear the kids, like, they were literally pulled in after one of these tapings.
Yeah.
Like, there's a girl on the left, and she's just like, what?
She's wearing the Paul Orndorff shirt.
Now, there's one wearing a shirt of...
Dangerous Danny Spivey.
Who, unfortunately, we don't see because I love Whale Mercy. However, on the shirt, I swear.
Yeah, and Quinn's right.
He looks exactly like John Cena.
He does.
Like, jean shorts.
Yeah.
Like, all muscly and like a crew cut.
So, folks, if you're out there and you can find that shirt, please send it to Quinn.
Yeah, because
he would love that shirt.
I would just write John Cena on it in like magic marker, and I could use it right now.
So we come back to the actual show, and we get Captain Lou's corner.
It's not much of a corner as much as a green screen, is it?
Captain Lou's part of this warehouse where they film this. Hey, Paisanos.
Yeah.
He brings in Don Morocco.
Yeah.
And Quinn, you noted to me, he's starting to turn into his ECW version.
So I don't know what happened to Don Morocco, but like, it's like his face like morphed or something. like I don't know if he got work or something, but like, he's starting to look different. Like, not like Don Morocco in WBF, like Don Morocco when he was in ECW.
Yeah, like,
and that's not just a weight thing. It's like his face.
Yeah, like less superstar and more super size.
Yeah.
He's been in New Zealand recently. Do you know that?
Great. What was he talking
hanging out with Tony Garea.
Yeah, I was just going to say sailor tattoo himself.
They say nothing else of note. And he's a face, by the way, Don Morocco. So then we get, this was awesome, Bruno and Herb.
This is
at like a wooden table, the kind that break in Secrets of Wrestling.
Yeah, the fake kind.
The fake table.
Yeah.
In front of a green screen that says box office.
So the green screen is like literally the outside of a box office. So you're telling me we're supposed to think they're sitting outside
at this table
in the sun.
Right.
Like as they've been inside before.
Yeah.
On a, like, just, like, somebody set up a fucking, like, folding table.
Like
for
they're
them to
selling lemonade out there or something,
like,
you know?
Literally, like, they're I think that's the best, that's the most accurate thing. And they're just hyping, like, buy the tickets or whatever.
Buy tickets, basically. Then we get a Hair Club for Men commercial, and you can get the free book. It has a bibliography.
Bibliography, and also, the more thorough, sew the hair into your, like, ow, like,
yeah,
it hurts just saying it.
I don't want anything sewn onto my head. Now, I have a question for you, Quinn, but mainly for all of you out there. Did anyone that you know ever use the Hair Club for Men? I swear the only people that use it are the eight people in the commercials for it.
I know somebody that used it.
Who?
The Fink. Remember Cy Sperling, WrestleMania 10, my friend?
Yeah. Why didn't he keep that?
Yeah, I agree.
He didn't really use it. That must have been a toupee.
Do you think it hurt? Like, and maybe he was afraid of getting it. I mean, like, for real. Like, Cy gave him the toupee to kind of show off, like,
I bet
you know, this is what you'd look like, Fink.
Maybe that's what it was.
And then he's like, I'm not buying that.
Now, if anyone's going to break into your house while your rich, shitty husband is away on a business trip, get an ADT alarm system, folks.
I remember this commercial.
You do?
Yeah, I remember, like, everything, the command center that they show.
That looks like NASA.
Yeah, it's like NASA. The whole thing. And you know what's really funny here? The dad.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell this is, like, marketed towards rich people because
looks
like Kevin McAllister's dad from like, you know,
from Alone.
Yeah, from that big. That his dad, did they ever say what Kevin McAllister's dad does in that movie? Because why are they so rich? Like, it's really confusing, actually. They're so rich, but their like brother has to like house them in Paris or something, but they're like millionaires.
Well, I think the implication is they can afford to go to Paris. They paid for all those people.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? So they get free housing
from the brother,
but they bought like 13 plane tickets to Paris.
Right.
So, and two of them, Kate and Peter McAllister, were in first class, don't forget.
Oh, and the uncle.
Oh, and Frank, because they hide the crystal.
And his wife, yeah.
And what's her name?
Marie, I don't know.
No, it's not Marie.
His wife?
Yeah.
The uncle?
Frank and...
Frank and Debbie, I don't know. I really don't know. The pudgy mom.
Yeah, she's nice, though.
Yeah, she's really nice.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's kind of assy.
Yeah.
Look what you did, you little jerk!
So, anyway, we go back to the show here. We have the next segment, Ask the Wrestlers. So, this question is for Bruno Sammartino. Which wrestler gave you more trouble than anyone else? And this is from...
This can't be real.
Steve Stevens.
Parma, Ohio.
Parma. Move over, Parma.
Move over, Parma. Be my love to me tonight. Okay.
Bruno now rambles on and on.
As he is to do.
Oh, God. Before deciding on Ivan Koloff, Killer Kowalski, and Don Leo Jonathan. So basically, he doesn't even answer it.
And I just go, what a ripoff, and what a waste of like 3 minutes or whatever this was.
Well, do you know that thing that Don Leo Jonathan, but also Killer Kowalski, Ivan Koloff, everyone gave me a hard time. I don't know.
I don't really get.
That's like what it was.
It literally was like, Herb was like, listen, we got to fill 3 minutes in this thing, and then can you fill it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's basically like what it was.
Now, our next match, folks, is the Viking with literally the worst Viking head thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Versus some doofy jobber. They don't say the names of the jobbers.
Which is weird because I feel like all the promotions we watch at least say the names
even
of the jobbers.
Even Nawa.
Yeah, even Nawa.
So, good condition, Hub. So, okay. So, we didn't know who the Viking was because he had the hat mask.
He has
thing
like
on,
a horns.
But it's
and,
like a mask.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, it's got like that Roman kind of helmet with the nose guard and
but
everything.
He's also a Viking. He's like a Roman Viking.
Yeah.
So he takes off the thing, and Quinn, who is it?
Ludwig Borga.
That's right. America is crumbling, Lex Luger.
This building is crumbling like America is crumbling.
And basically, I feel like you and me just say America's crumbling over and over again. Like the whole match.
the whole rest of the show. America's crumbling.
America's crumbling.
America is crumbling.
Lex Luger.
Yeah, it's just
we get Ricky Morton ref. Now, Borga has the white fuzzy boots.
And he's got like a fuzzy bottom too. Yeah, Berserker Borga.
Berserker Borga. More good condition by Bruno. He's in good condition.
All the whole match, he's like, the Viking, good condition. America's crumbling. Bruno could have said America's crumbling because he sounds like him.
So a falling hug gets the pin for Borga with an even lighter three count this time.
Would you call that the crumbling hug?
Yeah, he just crumbled to the ground.
And then he does a crumbling elbow over and
he
over again.
He does like three or four crumbling elbows after the belt. I don't even know what this was.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I think Herb was snorting a line during this match because Bruno was like by himself.
Yeah, Herb just disappears. Isn't this pre-taped? It has to be, right?
I don't know.
I'm assuming they dub in the commentary, so he must really just be screwing around.
Yeah, because like, Bruno calls the whole match.
Yeah, and he owns the company, so it doesn't matter if he's there.
He's like, I'm leaving. Bye. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Then we get a commercial for the Pennsylvania Hotel in New York City. Yeah, come stay at dangerous-ass graffiti, prostitute-filled 1990 New York.
To be fair, Joe, that's near 42nd Street.
It's right across from the gardens, so 34th.
Okay, 34th. It's in that vicinity,
that's
right?
That's not a good area in 1990.
By Penn Station?
It's not good.
I mean, it's not
Michael.
It's not
Michael.
Good.
I'm ashamed.
No, but I mean, I
you
don't
know
remember Penn
stuff.
Station being absolutely horrible. It's not like
in 90?
It's not like some really bad area.
It's not
like
80, but it's still pretty bad in 90.
No, the city's bad, but the area of the city
Times
is just
is
a
bad.
Shopping area.
Anyway, we get a promo with Colonel De Beers. Why does he not have a South African accent?
Well, you know, in South Africa, we say, if you can, you do.
He's just some guy. Like, he doesn't even have a accent.
He's just like, hi, I don't like anyone.
Yeah. They didn't have even an accent.
I'm going to win. And he calls out a wrestler, I guess, named New York's Finest. That's a cop gimmick.
So,
but not the Big Boss Man.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, our payoff because New York's Finest is an African-American gentleman. And I guess that's like what's going to happen here, right?
I'm sure he kicks De Beer's ass.
He
I hope
better,
so. I know.
Like after that bullshit.
So then I just need to tell you, Quinn. Buy Bruno's book, damn it.
Yeah. This is like the fourth ad for it. No, it's probably like the second.
Still,
but
it's one too many.
Yeah.
Then we
can't even tell the cover of that, by the way. Did you notice?
It just
that?
Says like Bruno,
and
good
like
condition.
Some kind of wrestler faded in the background.
And just someone lifting weights. Yeah. So then we get I thought this was like an Olive Garden commercial, but apparently it's a promo.
Yeah.
Because we get a limo pulling up and it's Golden Greek John Tolos getting out of a limo.
Now the coach is rich.
He's wearing a suit now.
Now he's Bobby the Brain and the coach combined.
Because literally in the opening package when we first saw him, he was wearing the coach attire.
Yeah.
Now he's in a suit and he's like, I'm the Golden Greek. I'm good.
When was he ever the Golden Greek? Is this something from his
1960s
wrestling career that I don't know?
Yeah. Quinn, it's time for our grudge match, not Chief J Strongbow versus Cactus Jack.
This isn't bad.
No, it's not bad. So Chief wanders over to talk to Bruno, and he like asks for help, and Bruno's like, I don't know about that. Then the unpredictable Cactus Jack, that's what they call him.
What is he, Johnny Rods now?
You're Johnny Rods.
I'm Johnny Rods, but
a lot of unpredictability in this show. Quinn,
I thought for a second that Johnny Rods like trained Cactus Jack.
It's Dominic DiNucci.
I always mess this up, though.
So Quinn, you said to me, this is an actual main event, but the problem is that Chief looks like an older Al Snow. And he does.
Yeah.
Whether it's Joe Jr. or regular Chief J.
Yeah, he really looks like Al Snow, Leif Cassidy.
He does,
like, just
but older.
Older.
One way or another.
You know what's hilarious, though, is because we still thought it was like the old man Chief Strongbow. I'm like genuinely like stunned through this whole match. How did this, like, how did he age?
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Like,
so we get some, like, brawling on the outside. We get, you know, the Nuska Huska.
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, for the record now, the fat ref is named Jesse Hernandez, just so you know.
Okay. It was Hernandez. I was right.
It was. So Cactus uses a fork or a knife or something.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing Quinn was talking about with the faces not necessarily being faces.
Yeah.
The fans chant for Cactus Jack because obviously he's cooler than Chief J Strongbow Jr.
Right, because that's just like a generic old school gimmick.
Right,
it's like,
Cactus
who cares?
Jack was new.
But I got to say, the Chief Joe Armstrong here,
yeah,
he wasn't Armstrong. Bad at all. Yeah.
Right. Chief Joe Armstrong was really good.
Yeah.
Or as you called him at one point, Jay Crossbones.
Jay Crossbones? They could have called him. That would have been a cool name.
For a pirate.
I mean, that would have made the Mount Rushmore.
Jay Crossbones?
That's cool.
How about Jean-Pierre Lafitte?
No.
The agony of defeat.
Yeah, agony. Not as cool as Jay Crossbones.
So the fans do chant for Jack, and Herb acknowledges it, but then he spits in the air and catches his own loogie in his mouth, and Herb freaks out.
That's He's like, disgusting.
What a pig! And yeah. Herb was like, I hate the pig. But he can control the match now, Herb.
He's a good wrestler. Good condition.
So then Chief gets the foreign object, and Herb yells, go get that gimmick!
Yeah, he says, get the gimmick! And it's like a fork or something. Like a plastic fork.
See, you know what it is, Quinn?
What?
Herb watched Secrets of Wrestling, the original version.
Right.
So that's why he knew it was called a gimmick.
Right.
Obviously.
Of course.
I don't know where the wrestler's girlfriend was or the trophy.
Honey.
Oh, but she didn't have a trophy.
Yeah.
Where was the stunt granny? Is she off this week?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. Who knows?
So basically, Chief grabs the gimmick.
Yeah.
He nails the ref with it on purpose.
So we can, like, beat him up more or something. I don't know. This is a weird ending.
It was really weird. Yeah. So obviously, Cactus wins by DQ, and then Jack walks away, starts throwing chairs in the ring. But
the real kind.
Yeah, it's not folding chairs.
It's like the, like, you know, like hotel, like table.
Conference room chair. That's what it is. See?
Yeah, it's the conference room. It all comes back. But it's like actually like also those could be dining room chairs. Like they
sure.
could be like a different, there are a bunch of style chairs.
Roy Rogers chairs.
Well, those are stapled to the floor, so you can't.
No, know. They have the standalone tables.
One's connected to the table.
Wendy's. How about Wendy's has that?
Yeah, Wendy's has
those.
The Wendy's dining room, as they call it.
With the green room. It's like a greenhouse. You know Wendy's and have like the thing that extends
now,
with the
Wendy's
sun?
Wendy's would call the whole thing the dining room.
Yeah, but everyone loved that back part.
Yeah, but the porch or
it's so good.
The Florida room of Wendy's.
Yep,
yeah,
the Florida room. You're right on.
Yeah.
Remember when they used to have the Super Bar?
Yeah.
I loved the Wendy's Super Bar.
It was basically the Fixin's Bar, though.
Can we do a Mount Rushmore in Death Valley of fast food places?
Eventually. Okay. Maybe in another podcast.
Maybe a 90s podcast. Yeah, folks, let us know what you think. Should Joe and Quinn do an auxiliary podcast about 80s and 90s nostalgia and pop culture?
Just random
Not
shit.
Wrestling. No yeah. wrestling.
Yeah.
Everything else, though.
Minus the wrestling.
Sports, music, TV, radio. Radio. Fast food, commercials.
Big Joe Henry. That would be a radio part.
Let us know if you think we should do that. If we get some feedback, maybe Quinn and I will give it a shot.
Yeah.
But anyway, Quinn, we've got a very important end of the show happening here.
These aren't folding chairs.
They're not folding chairs. They're brawling on the outside to the back past the shitty merch table. And Herb sounds like Joey Styles.
He sounds like Joey Styles. And the way the camera work here is they like literally follow them to the back, the merch. Like,
it's cool.
Slightly. Yeah,
it's
like
cool.
It's very different for 1990.
It is. It's something WWF would have done in the mid-90s.
The only
even.
Thing I remember them doing in the 80s was when Savage and Hulk were in the back in that room and Miss Elizabeth was hurt.
But the camera was already back there.
Yeah, it was like...
It didn't follow them back
And it was
there.
Like a positioned camera. It wasn't a handheld.
Oh, God, Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So anyway, then Chief comes back to ringside, yells a lot. So Herb decides to set up an Indian death match.
Right. So this is weird. Like, Herb's, like, suggesting match types to him.
He's clearly the booker.
Right. So they're not making any bones about it.
No,
like,
not
Herb
really.
Herb is the booker.
He's the booker and the announcer. And in fact, Quinn, Herb Abrams, right after this, was replaced as the main commentator by none other than Craig DeGeorge.
What?
Okay,
you know what's weird about that also?
Craig DeGeorge, first
well,
of all.
Not only that it's Craig DeGeorge and he sucks, right? But
Minerva or whatever Mooney called him.
Yeah, whatever Mooney called him. Yeah. No, but if you think about it,
yeah,
like, isn't this a weird parallel to when, like, Vince would get yelled at and then he shortly disappeared from the car?
I didn't think of that. That's a really good point.
It just popped into my head because I was, like, envisioning how this went off the air.
Right.
And, like, Joe yelling at him.
Sure, sure.
And, like, then all of a sudden he's not the commentator anymore.
Very good point. So we get one more commercial break, and it includes John Madden talking about his new book. You see, I have a book where I wrote the pages, and you have a word and a few more words, and then you have a sentence.
That's about right.
Next week, Quinn, we have the debut of Barry Orton. Barry O.
Barry O.
God. Good thing we're not watching that one.
Remember how good Barry L was in WWF?
Awesome. One of the best. Jimmy Jack Funk, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, that's Art Bar.
They mentioned Billy Jack Haynes in this show, by the way. We didn't say that.
God,
I mean,
do.
Some of the junk that's lingering is not good.
No, there's a lot of bad lingering junk, but overall, Quinn, this was not bad.
It's pretty entertaining, to be honest with you.
Honestly, it really wasn't bad. And whatever stigma Herb Abrams has and his version of the UWF has, this was entertaining compared to some of the other shit we've watched in the Spirit of Time.
I wonder if it goes off the rails or something, because, I mean, it is run by a Coke fiend. And, like,
True. Like
I don't know what that means to the product.
That's a good point, Quinn. But I will say this. During a period, you have to always set the stage, right? And we've watched Nawa recently, which was only a few months before when this took place. This is head and shoulders above Nawa.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's different.
It's different. The production is really good. They're not in a big place, obviously.
But I would say
they have some good names.
I would say this much. There's a little proto ECW to it.
There is an element of that. I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
A little bit of living on the edge here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's like the rules are a little looser.
Uh-huh.
The counts are a little lighter. That's not an ECW.
UWF, where the rules are loose and the counts are light.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I mean, I had no problem watching this.
Yeah.
This was an entertaining show.
It was a fine little hour of wrestling.
And speaking, folks, of a fine little hour or so of wrestling, we are glad to have been with you this episode number 32 of Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Be sure, of course, to tune in next week, or download next week, or hit the play button next week.
They can just tune in.
You can tune in for our Memorial Day show, May 29th. We are not going anywhere. You'll be off from work, but we will be here for you.
Yeah, we'll be on, you'll be off.
Exactly. So, folks, until that time, be sure to check us out on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can reach us at email at OVPPodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go to our website, OVPPodcast.com. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcasts. And, of course, be sure to go to our Facebook group and talk to us. We want to hear from you. We want to hear, what do you want us to deep dive to? What is your Rushmore and Death Valley suggestions? What do you want us to review? We want to know, Quinn.
Yeah, we want to know it all.
Thank you, folks. Have a good one.
See ya.
Today's question was sent to my colleague, Bruno Sammartino, by Steve Stevens of Parma, Ohio. Steve wants to know, in Bruno's great career, which wrestler has given him the most trouble?
Throughout my traveling that I've done around the world, I've met a lot of tough opponents. Many, many. There have been many tough people in different parts of the world. Japan, Australia, South Africa, India, South America. I've been all these places and I've met many a tough guy. But in this country, the toughest in America. People like Killer Kowalski, Don Leo Jonathan, Bill Miller. And, of course, you have the likes of Ivan Koloff, who's still wrestling, the Russian Bear, who took the title from me. He was as tough as any I've ever wrestled. But it's a toss-up between a Koloff, Kowalski, Jonathan. I hate to pick any one individual because these guys were so extremely...
Will you stop?